Thank you. No, I'll be okay. But thank you. Everyone just cares so much. Stop it. All right. Morena koutou. Good morning, everybody. My name is Zara. And if I'm one of those faces that you've seen around a lot but just don't know who it is, it's Zara, okay? Everyone say Zara. Cool. Awesome. So I am married to Matt, who's the youth pastor here. He's my husband. We've been married for about 4.5 years now, which is still enough to count the half. So we've been married for a while. We met each other at this church. He bought me this ring on his student loan. So if you can't see it, that's probably why. It's true. It's a privilege to be able to speak to you here this morning. This is my first time preaching in this church, something that I never thought that I would do. I don't know why, I just thought maybe I was a little bit too munted or something, which I know is hard to believe because obviously all you see now is a swan. But clapping, nice. it's really cool. I'm so stoked that I get to speak here during as part of self-denial. And thank you so much, Susan, for kind of recapping what this is all about. Because I think as Baptists, we're incredibly lucky that we get to support such an incredible ministry, Transient. I feel a little bit personally connected to Transient for a couple of reasons. I have a cousin who worked for them over in India for years and years, and so we have kind of followed her journey. I also have a good friend, my childhood friend, Lizzie. She is also over in India now serving Transient and working with a whole lot of young women and helping them find freedom through Christ and from the situations that they've been in their life. So it's awesome. I'm stoked that that we get to talk about this. So we've been talking about treasure, about taonga, and we had Simon spoke on the first week about how people are treasure, how we're as people, as humans, we're so important. We're treasure to each other and to God. We also Jeremy talked about how the gospel is treasure, and how a big part of the gospel is also people and serving one another. And if you remember, he washed Teresa's feet. Yeah, that's how, yeah. So, and today I get to kind of throw it back at you and say, well, what's your treasure? What is it? and we'll keep talking about that. This is a verse that I want to start with. And you've probably heard it before. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves can break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then, so this is Jesus talking, by the way. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. It gets weird in this part. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Gets a bit dark. It's weird. But then it picks up again. For no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Ooh, Jesus. And so in looking at this and unpacking this and asking ourselves where is our treasure, going back to the first one, which I can do here, that's what I want to start by asking you. Where is your treasure? Where is it? Is it on earth? Is it in heaven? Is it in your wallets? Is it under your chair? Seriously, is it under your chair? Check. Cool. I always wanted to do this. There's so many of them. If you're a kid, you want to crawl around right now. Some people are really surprisingly committed to this. Susan's just crawling around the floor. Oh, helping people.
I
Did someone check these ones? Kayla, get in there. Very good. You can eat those. I'm not going to make a big point out of it or anything. It's not like, oh, maybe we should give it away. Just eat them. There's nothing great there. So treasures, right? Treasures, they refer to the things that we acquire or the things that we store up, normally because we like them or because they make us happy. Just things that we like, so we're like, oh, well, I'll keep that. And it's not always necessarily material things. It's just things that we like. So if chocolate makes you happy, then it could be treasure. That might be treasure under your chair. If it doesn't, then maybe it's not treasure to you. So maybe you give it away. Some people might be really happy if you did that. Yeah, question. Cool. Was she under your chair? Was that? Cool. So we all, I think everyone is kind of on this mission to find treasures. And just because something's material, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's like that it's bad. Like your wife is material. I don't think it's bad that you would say that your wife is your treasure, right? And so when we talk about like treasures on earth and treasures in heaven, there kind of is this. Sometimes it will be like, oh no, that's bad because it's material and the good things is, you know, like the things that God offers. But I'm going to get to that shortly. But we're all doing this. We're all kind of looking for things that we can place value on, and that's what makes it treasure. There's this book that I've been reading by a guy that I know who lives in Wellington. His name's Scotty Reeves, and he wrote a book, which is cool. And I've been reading it, and it's got this really interesting quote in it, which I will share with you. The book's called 21 Elephants. It's got nothing to do with elephants. He says this, "I find it interesting that the word Christ chooses for those who don't know them is lost. He doesn't use it to mean something that's unrecoverable, like all is lost, but as though he's describing a stray dog that would gladly go back to his master if he could only find the way home. This is someone who ventured a little bit too far from home and froze in the space in between. It's someone who knows they're trying to find something, but just can't get their bearings." And I love this analogy. I love this picture of a dog who would quite gladly go home if only he knew the way, but instead he's kind of just sniffing around and wondering and scrambling and going, oh, well, what is it? And I think as I've gotten older, I've realized how true this is, how much people are just like lost dogs wandering around, kind of looking for something to guide them or something to put value on. And I thought that it would, you know, people would figure it out with age. But again, as I've gotten older, I've realized adults are just as lost as children. They're just better at pretending that they're not. So I don't think we're literally wandering the streets, but I've seen people as lost dogs by watching the things that they put value on, by watching the things that they treasure. But I think Jesus' words in this verse is a bit of a warning that there isn't really value on anything outside of his kingdom. And if everyone's collecting treasure, which we are going to do, we are going to collect treasure, because we all need to find significance from somewhere. But every day we see people trying to find value and find purpose for their lives through all kinds of things that the world offers, but not what Jesus offers. And so there's this quote that I heard from one of my favorite theologians, which is this. The question isn't if you're going to collect treasure, but what kind of treasure will you collect? And this guy is brilliant. It's actually from Matthew Mason. He said that. I had to repay him for the burn earlier. it's not a question of if you're going to collect treasure, but what kind of treasure are you going to collect? So, what are some of the treasures that we collect, good or bad? Maybe you turn to the person next to you and have a little discussion. I'm trying to be like Sarah. What are some of the things? So we've had wife, we've had chocolate. Just throw some ideas out there. Chat to the person next to you. Oh, yeah. If you don't want to confess to anything, you can dob in a friend. My friend collects this. Alrighty, team. What have we got? Just do some yelling. The Word of God. Great, a treasure that we can collect. Fidget spinners. Do you need more than one of those? I suppose you got two hands, eh? Money. Yep, okay, so money and status. Okay, which one are you? Awesome. Yep, some people collect money, status. We could probably keep going forever on this. I did a little bit of a brainstorm, and these are just a few of the things that I think sometimes people collect. So under money, there's things like working or exchanging your time for money. Some people save it or they use it to provide for their families. Some people just collect money, maybe for like a rainy day or for their kids' inheritance or anything. Material stuff like your house or your clothes or having a comfy couch or a coffee machine. Sometimes it's sexual, so it could be like sleeping around or pornography. Substance stuff like alcohol, smoking, drugs. Relational things like chasing relationships, swiping left or right. Finding your worth in another person. Your social status or popularity, so status like you said. Sometimes people, I think, collect feelings. So maybe it's the feeling of being wanted or being needed, or you want to feel significant, or you want to feel like you belong somewhere. Sometimes it's experiences, so traveling or dining out or going on a helicopter ride or skydiving or getting a tattoo, I don't know. Career could be your pay packages or climbing a ladder or trying to achieve goals or trying to make a difference. Now, again, not all of these things are like bad necessarily, right? Some of them, you'd have a hard time justifying like a drug addiction or something to someone. No, it's for the kingdom. I don't know. But you might have noticed this though, right? Like all of these things that people are collecting, it's everywhere with Christians, with non-Christians, with older people, with younger people, with males, females, people that you like, people that you don't like. And it makes sense. Because everything in our world and in our culture is telling us that if we have these things, then we'll be happy. That if we have these things, we'll have some kind of treasure. Because as humans, I think we need treasure. We need something to strive for. We need a sense of significance, or we need a sense of progress. But they're not all bad. And although... Whoa, that was so profound. Shh. let me get there. I think sometimes we kind of have this language of justifying things, or justifying some of these things. You know, because they're earthly treasures, but we're like, oh, we know that they're bad, but we still really want them. So we're like, no, it's for the kingdom. We're like, oh, no, we bought the boat so that we could drop off Bibles to the people on the other side of the lake. That's why we have it. Oh, the spa? No, that's not earthly. We just do our devotionals in it. Oh, that cruise that we went on, that's self-care. Because if I don't look after myself, how can I give? I'm not trying to pick on anyone or anything here, because I'm definitely guilty of this as well. A few years ago, Matt and I bought a coffee machine, and we were like, no, it's for hospitality. But we know why we bought it. Caffeine addiction. Matt and I are going to Thailand later in the year, and we've really wrestled with what that means and why we're going. Because we can say like it's for self-care or we're investing into our marriage, but at the end of the day, we're probably chasing after experiences, and we just really want to travel. And I can't help but feel like Jesus is saying, yes, great, look after yourself, invest into your marriage, but just so you know, there are other ways that you can experience true fulfillment. There's more to it than just that. Am I making sense? Cool. Because Jesus doesn't ask us to accumulate treasures and experiences that make us feel happy or significant or valued, because we can already know happiness and significant and value. We don't need to chase after anything. We don't need to collect anything. We don't need to search for things, because Jesus says, no, it's already here for you. Because you're significant and valued already, you can live in a kingdom where you don't have to work so hard so that you can travel and buy things to find meaning, even if they are for the kingdom. Does anyone know where this is? Quiz time. Is it up there, in there, or down there?
Down there.
Down there, nice. Up there was an Eltham reference for Abby and Steve, but I figured that's the top ones where Eltham is. No one knows where that is because it's such a random place. But Stabby lives there. It's down there. This is Lake Benmore. That was a man. This is Lake Benmore. Every year for New Year's, a bunch of us used to go and hang out there. At Lake Benmore, we'd camp by the side of the lake, and it was heaps of fun. At one point, everyone who we were camping with went off and did something else, and it was just Matt and I who were left behind. And at the time, we weren't even, I don't even think we were together or anything, eh? But we were sitting by the side of this lake, and we were bored out of our minds. And we saw these people who had these boats out on the lake, probably delivering Bibles. And we were sitting there, and we were like, man, I'm just bored out of my mind right now. What are we going to do? And I remember saying to Matt, I was like, I wish we had a boat. And he was like, all right. And then he gets off and leaves, and I was like, oh my goodness, he's going to steal a boat. But instead, he comes back with this inflatable air mattress. and he chucks it on the water, and then he jumps on the air mattress. And I'm like, I see what we're going to do here. We're going to play pirates. So I jump on the air mattress as well, and the two of us are kicking and splashing around and having a good time. And then I'm like, hey, Matt, do you reckon we could get all the way to the other side of the lake? He's like, yeah. And so we start heading out into the middle, and at first it's heaps of fun. Oh, no. We're having heaps of fun, but then we just start getting kind of tired and cold and hungry and angry, like hangry. You know, when you're so hungry, you're angry. Hangry, it's a thing. We're in the middle of this lake, and we kind of stop and we pause, and we're like, we should probably head back. And so we turn around and go back, except the mattress now is it's like just the cheap Bundy one, like from the warehouse. So it's just going down, getting flatter really quickly. And so it's getting really heavy and hard to push. And as we turn around, we realize we've got this headwind ahead of us that's pushing us back. And so we're paddling as much as we possibly can. From memory, I think we stole like the Adams kids' little paddles from their boat. Not effective. we head back, and we're paddling as much as we can, and we're like kicking with our legs off the thing, but we're hardly making any progress. And I start thinking, like, are we gonna die out here? Spoiler alert, didn't die. Neither did Matt. But I remember as we were coming in and getting closer and closer to the shore, we're scrambling and we're struggling. But then like a rock hit the bottom of my foot, and I was like, oh. And I just kind of got off the air mattress and I stood up. And even though we'd been scrambling, we were only in water that was about this deep. And I was like, oh. This whole time we didn't realize that we didn't need to be struggling. And I don't know, have you ever had a moment like that? Like sometimes when you're at the beach, you're coming in from the water and the waves are all splashing in your face, and then suddenly you put your feet down, you're like, oh, I'm all good. maybe a little bit like this guy. It's kind of like, I was trying to think of an equivalent. It's kind of like just doing something and you don't, for ages, and you don't realise that there's actually an easier way for you to do it. It's like peeling potatoes with a blunt knife your whole life. And then someone's like, wait, check this out, and hands you a potato peeler. You're like, ooh. And I think this is what Jesus is getting at. He's saying you don't need to keep struggling and scrambling to keep your head above the water. He's saying you don't need to go chasing after all of this stuff. Your answer's right here. Just put your feet down. Because the easiness or the answer is doesn't it's right here. It's comes from knowing me and living a life serving me. And our culture tells us, and the world tells us, that if you've got all your earthly treasures, then you'll be happy. And so we scramble for them. But the gospel, it says something else. And it's so simple, and it's been there all along, and we've heard it preached 1,000 times before. There's nothing profound that I'm getting at here this morning. But it's exactly like you're swimming, and then you realize you can put your feet down. Jesus goes, no, there's actually more. There's more to it than just that. There's this thing, it's called the kingdom of God, and I want to show you how it works. And actually, it doesn't involve accumulating, it involves sacrificing. And you don't need to try and keep afloat for that because it's right here. So what are the real treasures? And I hunted hard to try and find a list of this for you, but I can't just read you a verse. It's riddled throughout the whole of the New Testament, through all of Jesus' teachings. The real treasures are things like generosity, like humility, like gratefulness, like honesty, or grace, mercy, forgiveness, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Turns out there is a verse. faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, helping someone. Having courage. Maybe you remember this verse. I don't have it for the screen, sorry. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again, and then he sold everything that he owned so that he could get enough money to buy the whole field. Because this treasure is better than anything that you've ever owned. No amount of money or things can buy something that's so good. About a month ago, Matt was up in Auckland. He was up there. What did you go for? To watch the UFC or something? Nerd. Matt was up in Auckland, and he had this plan to get around while he was up there, and we'd budgeted it all out and stuff. And he figured if he could catch a bus from this particular bus stop, then it would cost him about $7.50 to get to the airport. So we're like, sweet, great, that's the plan. He just needed to walk from somewhere to get to that bus stop. But when he was there, it started pouring down with rain, and he decided, nah, I can't be bothered walking to the bus stop. I'll just jump in this taxi. And he was telling me this, and I was like, oh my goodness, how much did you spend on the taxi? And he was like, $75. It's like, what on earth? And he spent $75 on this taxi. And my instant reaction was, oh my goodness, I cannot believe, like, what a waste of money. How dare you? I don't know. I was angry. But then he explained to me. He was like, no, but then when I got into this taxi, the man who was driving, an Indian man, he was saying to me, he was like, oh my goodness, thank you so much for choosing to get a taxi rather than calling an Uber or catching the shuttle or something, because I moved my whole family over here from India so that we could have a better life. And now nobody's using these. We've invested into this taxi, and I work for this company, and nobody's using this anymore because there's other cheaper ways to do it. So thanks for, I'll take you $75. And after hearing the kind of the backstory to that, I suddenly was totally okay with the $75. Because it's a little sacrifice. $75 doesn't mean anything if it's the difference between someone being able to feed their family or not. And sure, it's, you know, $75, which I'm not bitter about. but you know, when you put it in perspective, a small sacrifice or a temporary sacrifice for me can change somebody's world. And this is where we're heading to, this whole idea of sacrifice. Because I think that those treasures, the generosity, the humility, the gratefulness, the honesty, the grace, that I think they have to come from sacrifice. Not just money, but money is a really practical way to start. Because if you've got any disposable income or any space for luxuries in your life, then I think God asks us to sacrifice our money for somehow. And if we look at this globally, which is what self-denial asks us to do, with giving our money to Transcend and helping out these women in Asia, what a great practical way for us to be able to do that. Putting some spare change in your little feather bags. That's cool. It's great. Do it. Put lots of change into it. Go and get cash out just so that you can put change into it. I like getting cash out because it makes me feel like it's actual money. Sometimes a donating something via your credit card, it doesn't feel the same. But if you get it out and hold it and then go, oh, sometimes it's helpful. And I know that there are people here who are doing that. I know that people are giving very generously. I'm always so encouraged by this church. I love when we do our Christmas appeal, like hearing the numbers going up and up. And I can't believe how generous we are. But yes, this is great. We should keep doing that. But I think Jesus doesn't just want one-off kind of acts of self-denial. He asks for a lifestyle of self-denial. He asks for a lifestyle of sacrifice. And so self-denial or sacrifice is a way of life. So what could you do to make sacrifice a part of your life? And again, it doesn't just have to be money, but I think that's a good place to start. So maybe you want to support Transcend for more than just this month. Maybe you want to support Prison Fellowship. Maybe you want to sponsor a child. Maybe you want to tithe more so we don't have a budget deficit. maybe the idea of gifting your tax refund is really eating away at you. I think sacrifice or self-denial, that's the way that the lost dog finds his way home. Self-denial is the firm ground under the water. Self-denial is the obvious answer that Jesus keeps pointing at. Self-denial is the greatest way to experience the eternal treasure of the gospel. So let's pray. God, thank you so much for this incredible community of loving and generous people. God, thank you for the opportunity to give. Thank you for the idea of self-denial. Thank you for the idea of sacrifice and having Transcend that we can support. Lord, I pray that everyone here would leave here craving a lifestyle of sacrifice and self-denial, that we would leave here more generous than we arrived. God, I thank you that Jesus lived a life of the ultimate sacrifice. And God, I pray that this would seep deep into us so that our faith with God, with our relationship with Jesus, is like Jeremy said last week, it's so much more than just a personal salvation, but it's a social revolution. Thank you, Lord. Amen.